TotalSportCards.com. Canada's number one stop for WWE, AEW, UFC, NHL, NBA, and NFL hobby boxes. Total Sport Cards always delivers the most sought-after products with the best price points in the market that you can find. Keep your collection up to date with TotalSportCards.com. TotalSportCards.com, proud sponsor of Sunday night's main event.
Welcome to this edition of NXT Talk, where we chat about all things NXT. It is the go-home show before NXT Stand and Deliver, which is this Saturday afternoon, a special start time of 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Just remember that start time. And here on NXT Talk, we're going to come at you after the fact with an aftercast of Stand and Deliver. But right now, we're going to be chatting some go-home. I'm Boris, and this week I am joined by Matt.
Bonjour. How's everybody doing out there? We hope you're doing well. Twists and turns and romance and intrigue and sex and lies and rock and roll on this episode of NXT. By God, Boris, lots of fun. Lots of promos. It was a promo heavy edition. No, nothing classic in the ring, but it was good. Good times. I'm ready for Stand and Deliver.
Dude, if this was not a great go-home show, but NXT continues to have good go-home shows. They understand that what you gotta do is sell the matches, right? And that's what they do a very good job of. And NXT, with those prime, what are they, the prime time, those promos that they usually do. Today's with Breaker and Carmelo Hayes. Just excellent. Home run. Grand slam. Shohei Ohtani.
Yes, yeah, well, they prime event, something like that. But yeah, the UFC style promos, yeah, those are dope. This one was really good too. Yeah, let's not dilly dally too much, man. Let's get right into the NXT talking tonight.
All right, but we got a little tranquilo, amigo. Before we get to that, there is one last piece of business. I love how you're looking at me like, what the fuck are you gonna say? There's one last piece of business that we got to get to, and that is this week's rating system de jure, because we're done with star ratings. Every week we like to rate each match, but we like to have a little fun with it. Matt, what are you thinking for this week?
I don't know, Boris, do you want to like celebrate WrestleMania weekend, do like some of the crazier shows, the lower level shows over WrestleMania weekend? I'll load up cagematch.net here.
Yeah, sounds good. I like that idea. I thought you were going to say like bad WrestleMania matches. I'm like, how many matches did WrestleMania 9 have?
Yeah, just say Brett versus Vince over and over and over.
I always forget about that match. Even last year when we did like the worst matches of WrestleMania, I forgot that was even a thing.
Yeah, that was my number one. That's my least favorite match of all time. I hate it to this day.
Interesting. I'm sure we can find a worse one. Maybe. But with that further ado, let's just get straight to things. Show started right away with the NXT North American Championship Contenders 20-man Battle Royal. Winner gets into the 5-man match. So let's go through things. Quincy Elliott gets eliminated right away in his only second appearance since he kind of fucked up on Twitter.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, I kind of forget what the whole Quincy Elliott social media shenanigan was. But yeah, he was in and out of this battle royal pretty damn quick.
Yep. Dante Chen eats a big boot from Dijak to be eliminated. Jinder eliminates developmental wrestler number 838378. Odyssey Jones chucks Zion Quinn, who knocks out developmental wrestler number 747447. Nice. Damon Kemp. Eliminates Nathan, gets eliminated by Nathan Frazier. Dijak eliminated after Idris Nofi and Malik Blade rough him up, and then Odyssey Jones knocks him out. Dijak is angry, though. He drags Jones out of the ring, slams him on the steel steps. Jinder Mahal eventually eliminates him for good. Jinder now getting beaten up by Nofi and Blade. Apollo Crews and Scripps work together, and they knock out Inofi and Blade together. Jinder felt hindered, so he eliminates Scripps. Crews eliminates Big Body Javi with a military press. Hank Walker tried to eliminate Drew Gulak, but Charlie Dempsey chucks them both out. They fight their way to the back, only to have a match later in the night. Dabba Kato picks up and slams Apollo Crews to the outside with a military press to eliminate him. Axiom, Nathan Frazier, double team Mahal to eventually eliminate him. Dabba Kato gets eliminated by teamwork from Axiom, Dempsey, and Frazier. This leads us to the final three, Charlie Dempsey, Nathan Frazier, and Axiom. We get some back and forth. Axiom knocks Dempsey out with a kick. We're down to the final two. Frazier on the ropes. We got a springboard arm drag from Axiom, who then goes for an enziguri. Frazier runs the ropes, springboards off of the middle rope, and ends up landing and hitting an inverted DDT from the jump. That was incredible, and he did it so seamlessly, buddy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's an old AJ Styles spot, but he does it Jericho style, bouncing off the middle rope, not standing on the middle turnbuckle. And man, yeah, it was incredible. Like you said, so smooth. Just pop that thing off. Whap, just like that.
Yep. Frazier with a super kick, but Axiom rolls out of it, ending up receiving on the receiving end of a super kick a little later. Frazier tries to eliminate him, but Axiom sidesteps him, props him up on the ropes, and gets the final elimination to become the last person in the North American Championship match. After the match, Wesley, Dragon Lee, Ilya Dragunov, JD McDonagh, and Axiom all face off in the ring.
Yeah, setting up that little match. So Axiom wins the Battle Royal. I don't know. I'm glad he's in there. Not what I was expecting with the way they built it. I was expecting them to throw
you know what the thing is? This is where I think WWE has conditioned us to never believe the simple story. Because for how many weeks have they been pushing Axiom versus Wesley, right?
Absolutely. It is the right thing after all. So I'm glad they did it, but you're completely right about that. That's why I no longer watch Raw and rarely watch SmackDown.
That's the thing, right? Like, they've conditioned us so weird sometimes. All right. So that's the match. I thought it was what it was. It was pretty good. Fun way to start. One thing that really bothered me is the mixing of whatever live commentary they did in the arena and whatever commentary they did in a studio.
Oh man, the sound on this thing, the crowd sweetening in this episode too was just annoying.
Oh, the crowd was beautiful all night. What are you talking about?
Yeah, funny how that works, eh? When they announced all the matches for NXT, the same pop every single time. Weird how that happened.
The crowd was in sync. They were zen like bait.
Yes, yeah. Well, they played Crowd Noise 7.wave, you see. They played this that's happening right now. That's funny. I'm getting a phone call. I apologize. My phone is usually off. Anyway, Boris, this was a average match with an incredible last two. Like, it was every Battle Royal you've ever seen until the very end of the Battle Royal. And then it was, like, some of the best one-on-one that we saw on NXT in months, right? Like, these guys are so sick. Axiom and Nathan Frazier, they have awesome matches together. So I don't know how you rate this. Like, does the final stretch make it a good match? Do you think
it's part of the match? Say, why not? What
are you? Of course. Yeah. Right. Because there were 12 minutes of dudes just punching each other to start off the cool spots. You know,
some of the greatest basketball games ever have been decided in the final 2 minutes of a 48 minute game.
It's a very good point. I will accept your argument. We're going to go 3 Zachary Wentz Treehouse of Dreams out of 5. Remember Zach Wentz, Boris? Wasn't he on this show once?
At one point in time, I actually saw him on Friday, which was interesting. What was I going to say? I had a great point to make, and I forgot it. God damn it. Oh, yeah. Charlie Dempsey. I'm happy that he was the last, like, part of the final three, right? Like, I think that goes to show you how they feel about him. So I was happy with that. Because we're Dempsey Mercs. We're Dempsey originals. Like, we're Dempsey truthers.
Literally have been on the Dempsey train since day one. Yeah, so it was very nice to see him in the final three. It was an exciting final stretch. But yeah, it was very much just your average battle royal. If you ever rented a Coliseum video from Blockbuster, I'm dating myself hardcore there, of course, now. But it just reminded me of, like, you know, every Coliseum video battle royal you ever saw, every just random dudes until the incredible ending. So there we go.
Yep. All right. Pretty Deadly, they're doing their hosting gig now. They're hyping up the North American Championship match. We see a lot more Pretty Deadly. Tyler Bate is with Chase U. We got the good old Chasen Bate in the back. I didn't even plan that. Under Chase talks him up before his match and says this will be a big win for the university. Duke Hudson is all surly, rolling his eyes while the others chat.
Yeah, they're back to square one with Duke Hudson here. So I don't know. It seems like he's just going to join the Schism, and the Schism's going to take over this Chase University. It's going to be like 6 months of programming.
Yep. Josh Briggs, Brooks Jensen, Fallon Henley, and Keanu James, they all meet up backstage. James claims she felt horrible that Briggs and Jensen aren't at Stand and Deliver. James then said she pulled some strings and got Briggs and Jensen in a qualifying match to get into the tag title match at Stand and Deliver this Saturday. Henley was not happy that that James hasn't brought up this Sebastian side dude up. Henley was about to spill the beans, but Briggs cuts her off, saying he's stoked for their qualifying match later and didn't want Henley to really mention anything, even though he and her agreed to tell Jensen the truth.
Yeah, but now that there's tag team titles in the mix, he doesn't want to, you know, stir the pot. He doesn't want his tag team partner all disappointed and sad. Like, so this Keanu James manipulating everyone yet again, as the world turns here on NXT.
The way you said that. I love it. Tyler Bate versus Von motherfucking Wagner.
Your boy. I actually like this match. I mean, Bate got a good match out of old Jan Wagner here.
Jan indeed. All right. Taya Hale beats up Mr. Stone. We get a uppercut lariat bop and bang. What else happens? Hudson is all mad about stuff after he and Bate go for a high five. Bate with a rebound lariat and a spiral tap for the win.
Yeah, this Duke Hudson has a bad attitude, not even leaving Tyler Bate hanging on the way to the ring to hit AJ Styles' old spiral tap, spinny boy, I believe he calls it, the spinny boy, for the win. Pins Von Wagner. Von Wagner, there are like over 30 people on the Stand and Deliver card, and no Von Wagner. Tough beat for a son of a Beverly. But it was a pretty good match from Tyler Bate. Yeah. It was. And young Von Beverly.
Yep. Chase and Bate were in the ring celebrating. A Schism video plays. Schism ends up at Chase U. All the students were wearing Schism masks. The Schism members took turns talking about how they're going to take over and eventually corrupt Chase U.
Ooh, spookiness. A little bit of spookiness.
Yeah.
Sure. Seems like they're winning over the students already. That didn't take very long. They were in there for like 10 minutes. But anyway,
Kool-Aid. Drink the Kool-Aid.
They're chugging it from Red Solo cups. So we're going to go three second mitzvah manias out of five. Second wrestling from Los Angeles, California. The second mitzvah mania.
Where's that?
The Temple Beth AM Arena.
Yeah. What?
Oh, I have never heard of that company or building.
Okay. Roxanne, can I go back?
No. Let's talk more about this arena and second mitzvah mania. Yes, please go on, for the love of God.
Roxanne Perez is seen walking through the back. She is back, and she's looking for Shawn Michaels. We go to commercial. Back from the commercial, Roxanne Perez enters the Heartbreak Man's office. Perez said that the doctors have cleared her to return to action. Shawn was happy and said that was good, but he kind of said it a little apprehensive, right? Perez said the diagnosis was a combination of exhaustion and anxiety. She said the only thing on her mind is the championship and stand and deliver. Shawn said he's happy to hear the diagnosis, but he doesn't think it's a good idea for her to fight just yet. Michaels told Perez to drop the title, get back in ring shape. They will crown a new champion at Stand and Deliver, and she will get the first title defense against the new champion. Perez said she's struggled with anxiety all of her life since she won the title. She said she was overwhelmed with emotions. HBK reminded her that she's only 21 and she will be at the top again soon. Perez said exactly. She is only 21 and fears that she's already peaked. She brought up how HBK never deferred anything in his career. Perez said she can't run away from the things, from anything, and needs to face it all head on. She begged Michaels for a chance to defend the title she never lost. She said she wants to be an example to others that suffer from anxiety. Michael said that she is indeed in the match at Stand and Deliver, only if she can provide him with a medical report of her diagnosis. Michael said he's afraid, but he thinks Perez can get through this.
Yeah, I like this a lot. It was...
Yes.
Yeah, this was a really good promo. Roxanne did a good job. Shawn Michaels did a good job. One of the better Shawn Michaels promos I honestly ever remember him cutting. Yeah, this was good stuff, and it made you like Roxanne more, made you excited for the ladder match. Overall, a great success, in my opinion. I'm sure some people will find reasons to dislike it. Maybe you could say like a wrestler talking about their anxiety, but hey, that's Hangman Page. No, you know, it's the same character, I guess. So, Hangman Roxanne Perez out here doing the thing.
Yep. I liked it. I liked that a lot. I thought it was really well done. Best character work Roxanne Perez has done since she's come on board. And I think that this, again, kind of it makes her resonate with us common folk, right? With us watching the shows, right? It's like, I suffer anxiety too. Look at her, right?
I know what you're saying. Yeah, that is definitely the hope. And I don't know if it actually was real, if it's a good idea to bring it into the storyline. But regardless, it's what they're doing, and let's see how it plays out.
All right, we finally get the match that we've all been waiting for weeks: Valentina Feroz versus Electra Lopez.
Yes.
I have to ask you: did you see Electra Lopez's walk to the ring?
Her walk to the ring.
You know, I've said it many times. She walks down the ring like a show horse.
Yes. You have brought it up inexplicably for numerous times now. Yes.
The thing. I've noticed it. Okay. What'd you think of the match?
It was indeed a match between Electra Lopez and Valentina Feroz. It was a NXT level up level match here. On the go home show,
Lopez blocks a crossbody, hits Feroz with a sit up, Balda bomb, gets the win. Electra Lopez is the winner. Valentina Feroz with some new ring gear. Electra Lopez, sure, whatever. She got the win. Cool.
Yeah, not much to it. We're going to go one single suplex Schmiede Voles Roja. I'm sure I pronounced that wrong. That is a German show happening. So a single suplex Schmiede Voles Roja, Boris. Out of five.
I love it. I just love the amount of shows this weekend. All right, we get it.
Crazy.
Yeah, we get an Eddie Thorpe vignette airing, and they focused again on his Native American heritage while also being a DJ. This brings us to his debut match, Eddie Thorpe versus Miles Bourne. I like Eddie Thorpe.
Yeah, it's not disrespectful. It's yes. Not dumb and ridiculous yet. So I'm still in on the character. Let's hope it continues this way. He's a really good wrestler. He needs a finishing move. He kind of just hit a bunch of moves, two weird, wacky neck breakers in a row, and then one. I was kind of expecting him to, okay, now what's your finisher? And then he just pinned him and won.
Saito, but he beat suplex, the twisted neckbreaker.
And Bob's your uncle. There you go. But yeah, no, this was very good on the Dave Meltzer scale, like 1 star. But the way we rate matches here, where we take into account, the story, everything that's happening, the lead up, and like I think we rate debuts differently and squashes differently, but specifically debuts. I remember like we talked at length about Nikita Lyons' debut and like, wow, it really seems like they're going to push her and make her something special. That was a successful debut. So this is a successful debut. I could not rate it any lower than 3, Boris. We're going to go 3 Effie's Big Gay Brunch 6s out of 5 for this one.
Question for you about this. Would you have put this match on the go-home show like they did, or would you have waited for next week with a clean slate?
You can do both. Might as well. I know what you mean, though. You kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit here. Maybe they could have waited. That's probably actually, that's a good idea, but there's no reason why they couldn't do both, right?
Yeah, agreed. Pretty Deadly are hyping up Johnny Gargano versus Grayson Waller at Stand and Deliver. Wilson said the only way he'd fight in an unsanctioned match as if it was to defend Prince's honor. Both men shared a sensual handhold as we head to commercial, which leads me to the burning question of the night. Matt, would you fight for my honor?
Depends who I'm fighting, of course. would I fight somebody else? I don't know. Depends who it is.
All right, the hardest working reporter in all of professional wrestling, Mackenzie Mitchell, is interviewing Gallus members Mark Coffey and Wolfgang. She said they looked rough after whatever happened at the pub last week. Gallus said it was just another drunk bar fight. Wolfgang then talked about how they're allowing another, they could allow another team in the tag match because they are about equal opportunities. And then they said Gallus boys on top to end the interview.
I liked this as well. I enjoy the Gallus boys, although I need them to be subtitled. It's like watching Trainspotting. I get like 60% of it max.
Yeah. You know what I've been watching lately?
Some thick Scottish accents. What's that, buddy?
Australian Survivor. Let me tell you this. Some people absolutely need subtitles on that show.
Some thick Australian accents.
Yeah, very, very much so. All right, this leads us into the last chance match for the final spot in the NXT Women's Title ladder match. Sol Ruka, Indy Hartwell, Ivy Nile. Good match. Fast match.
Yes.
Yeah.
Laid out well. It was one of those matches that was like very clearly choreographed from start to finish. But I liked it. Like you said, quick match, laid out well, very fast paced, in and out, boom, boom, boom. I would not have picked Indy Hartwell to win, but the way they did it made a lot of sense. So I am okay with it. She would have been my third choice, though, out of these three women.
2024, the year of Ivy Nile. I'm here to hear first.
Yes. But we've only been saying it for the entire time we've had a podcast.
Yep. But here's the thing about Indy Hartwell. Yeah, I kind of knew she was going to win when Vic Joseph started like really talking about her, pumping her up, saying she's the veteran, saying how long she's been around, saying that she, you know, she's had her ups and her downs and this would be huge for her, yada, yada, yada. Right. So they kind of telegraphed that Indy Hartwell was going to win. How she won was Ivy Nile with a dragon sleeper on Indy Hartwell. Sol Ruka with a soul snatcher out of nowhere caused Hartwell to toss Ruka outside. Hits Nile with a basement forearm for the win. Indy Hartwell steals the win from Ruka to get into the ladder match.
I say I did like that finish, although, so Ivy Nile has Indy in a dragon sleeper. She stumbles near the ropes, allowing Sol Ruka to hit the Sol Snatcher on Ivy Nile. That momentum actually DDT'd Indy into the mat. So it would have been cool if Indy would have sold that somehow, right? But I understand that for the layout of the match, she had to get immediately up, throw Sol out of the ring. But that was one where I was like, oh shit, she actually took a great bump there, and it would be cool if she could sell right now, but she has to get right up and finish this match because that's
That's the problem sometimes, right?
Like, yeah, they did not want Ivy Nile to kick out of Sol Ruka's finisher, rightfully so. So the only thing that could possibly happen at that moment is that Indy has to knock Sol out of the ring. So I understand. But yeah, it's just the way it was set up and the bump that Indy ended up taking was actually pretty cool. So I wish that she could have sold out. No matter, like you said, I did think overall this was a good match, much better than the last match we saw. So we're going to go three. NEW Suffer No Fools out of five. That is a show from Copenhagen, Denmark. The Basement CPH is where that one's taking place. Nordic Elite Wrestling, Boris. Nordic Elite Wrestling, NEW. Suffer No Fools.
Love it. Pretty Deadly are back. Now they're surrounded by ladders. They preview the ladder match for the women's title at Stand and Deliver. Prince predicts that Tiffany Stratton is going to win, and they declared Tiffany Stratton as the third best dressed person in all of NXT behind Pretty Deadly.
Fun promo. These guys are great. They grow on you. Every time you see them, they get under your skin a little more, these Pretty Deadly characters.
They're so good. They're so good sometimes. All right. Then it was time for the prime target video. Braun Breaker versus Carmelo Hayes. They each take a opportunity, hype themselves up, talk down to their opponent, and they each say they're going to win the title. So well done. I can't do it justice. Go out and find it on the WWE social medias, which I'm sure that you can already find them there.
Yeah, what is it? I'm sorry. We both always forget what it's called. It's a prime event. It's not event prime center. Target. Prime Target. I keep wanting to call it Event Center, but that's not it. It is Prime Target. It is really, really good stuff. They're always good. This was an excellent one. Makes you want to see the match so much more. It's the UFC style build, the HBO boxing special build here, Boris.
Yep. We then see the Witch A sisters, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, cutting a promo. They talk about their match at Stand and Deliver against NXT Women's Tag Team Champions Kiana James and Fallon Henley. They wrapped a red scarf around their hands to signify their link. As Dawn says, there's always darkness before the dawn, and where there's smoke, there's fire.
I have the scariest erection right now. Oh, sorry, cut that. No, I'm just kidding. No, the spooky ladies doing spooky things. They are united in spookiness, Boris. By God, they're the tag team champions in a couple days.
100% they will be. Drew Gulak versus Hank Walker was next. Drew Gulak gets the win after a match that saw Hank Walker get a lot of offense, a lot of power moves, but Drew Gulak was always able to figure a way out. The end saw Dempsey forearm Walker, causing Gulak to roll him up for the win.
Yeah, so again, I'm going back into the to the explanation of how we rate matches here. If you're looking at this next to everything you saw on Dynamite, I don't know if you'd call it like even a good wrestling match, but we try to do two things. We try to look at story, look at everything that's accomplished character-wise, and base the match against everything we've ever seen before. Every WWF Raw, every Superstars in 1995, every shitty indie match that we've ever seen. God bless all those men and women in those trash fires. Anyway, this was a good wrestling match. A surprisingly good wrestling match. Hank Walker looked awesome. Drew Gulak's great, man. He could have a great wrestling match with a fucking mop. And this was good stuff. So I think this was 3 out of 5. We're going to go 3 RPW Street Trashes out of 5, Boris. That's in Williamstown, New Jersey this weekend. Not really near Los Angeles. RPW Street Trash.
Pretty Deadly are slamming down Mimosas as one does. They preview the tag team championship match, and Prince joke that they are impressed that the Creed brothers have more personality than a dirty rag. They didn't even want to mention Gallus, and they said if Briggs and Jensen get into the match, they could have a fairy tale ending. They also think that Alba Fire and Isla Dawn could leave LA as tag champs.
Again, Pretty Deadly, bring in the fire, and I agree with everything they say.
Tony D'Angelo, A.O., and Channing Stacks Lorenzo versus Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen.
This was a show full of three-star wrestling matches. Just yet another match that I would call safely a good match. Nothing great. Nothing I'm going to take to my grave. Nothing I will even remember after this week of wrestling is over. This is a pretty good match. Tony and Stacks are looking good. Briggs and Jensen have some fire. They're developing some tag team spots. I like Tony D and Channing Stacks's new tag team finisher. Good stuff overall here.
Okay. I'm going to say this once, but Briggs and Jensen, mainly Brooks Jensen, is really starting to grow on me.
He's really improved, man. He started at the absolute bottom, so he'd have nowhere to go but up, and we don't need to be rude to him anymore because he's really, really good. He's getting better. He's not really, really good, but he's getting better.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. He's no Von Wagner, but, like, you know, he's still... He still has some work to do. But in all serious, like, this is a perfect example, right, of the house shows really, really, really helping people out.
Seems like it, yeah, man, because if it was only the 5 minutes he was getting in the NXT TV show, probably wouldn't be helping him too much, although he does look pretty good in these matches now. So there's that. This was a good match. I liked it.
Yep. Explain the finisher from our boys from the Familia.
Yes, so Stax and Tony D. So I think they actually, at one point, they hit the old the demolition decapitation, the backbreaker elbow, which Booker T called the Doomsday Device incorrectly no less than 7 times over and over and over. He called it a Doomsday Device, which just made me laugh. But yeah, they should use that as the finisher because that looked devastating. But they came up with a second move, which was actually pretty cool as well. So they whip the guy into the ropes and lift him up like they're going to do the old double flapjack like the Midnight Express used to do. But while he's up in the air, they both kind of rotate 180 and hit him with like the electric chair drop. Like they both like rotate 180 and get the guy on their shoulders. And then they both drop down with the wrestler. So it's kind of like a 180 backstroke flapjack. I guess you could call it the reverse pancake. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Demolition's move was called the Skull and Bones, by the way.
Was it called the Skull and Bones? I've always, my entire life, seen it called the Decapitation. But Skull and Bones is a cool name for it.
Yeah, I at least that's what I put it down in my notes, and I cross-referenced it.
With who? Axe and Smash? Mr. Fuji? Who did you ask?
Oh,
I'm sticking with decapitation unless Mr. Fuji himself throws fucking salt in my eyes and tells me I'm wrong.
Oh my god. That was the best. How would you rate this match?
Maybe I'm being generous, but again, I'm feeling NXT tonight, so we're gonna go with three. Let's go with three. Ring of Honor, Super Card of Honors out of 5 for this.
All right. That works really, really, really well. All right. After the match, Fallon Henley enters the ring, demands that Kiana James tell the truth. Kiana James comes in and said she'd rather show him, pulls him in for a smooch, and the peasants rejoice.
Yeah, so we got romance. We got the big dramatic kiss here in the 9:45 segment of the go-home show of Stand and Deliver. If anything, do it on the pay-per-view, HBK. This was crazy. The fact that they did the kiss here makes me think the big breakup's coming at the pay-per-view because they had to get the kiss in now if they're, you know what I mean? Like, if they don't break up on the pay-per-view, they should have saved the kiss for the pay-per-view. The fact that they did it here makes me think it's ending at the pay-per-view.
We're spending way too much time talking about this.
1,000,000% agree. What a way to spend a life, Boris. Jesus Christ. Let's get to this main event.
The main event. Grayson Waller contract signing. The ring surrounded with Grayson Waller security. He makes his entrance. Waller goes to Vic Joseph at commentary, takes the contract from him, heads into the ring. Waller told security to watch his back since Gargano is known for his cheap shots. Waller looks at the contract and said that Melo and Braun might think they're the main event, but whenever he's on the card, that's the real main event. Waller talks about starting at NXT and trying to stand out with all of the other new arrivals. He said he tried to make his name at War Games. He then said, at the end of the night, all anyone could talk about was Johnny Gargano. So a few nights later, he timed things out, and thanks to Michaels allowing Gargano all the time he wanted to talk, he would end up hitting Johnny Gargano with a chair, sending him home for 15 months. He said it was ironic since Gargano kept talking about betting on yourself, and that's exactly what Waller did. Waller said he's got the greatest big match superstar in NXT history begging him to kick his ass at Stand and Deliver. Waller asked if Gargano bleeds black and gold. Waller said he bleeds green, and he used Johnny to put himself on the map, so he's going to do it one more time. Johnny Gargano's music plays. Waller and his security are looking up the ramp. Meanwhile, Gargano unmasks as the in-ring cameraman and, like an idiot, waits for Waller to turn around. They brawl. Security tries to break him up to no avail. And that, my friend, is the show as we head towards Stand and or Deliver.
Well, he's an honorable man, my friend, not an idiot. He's not going to attack a dude with his back turned.
Wait, this is the same guy who allowed... to get his ass kicked in front of his baby.
You're right. Yes. Shoot, baby Gargano. Yes, we all saw that. That's a good point. No argument there. Yeah. I don't know. The cameraman with the camera plan angle. It's a little played out in wrestling, but whatever. This was fine. It was some heated brawling to end NXT. Do you want to talk about Stand and Deliver?
Yeah, let's talk about Stand and Deliver. Do you got the card?
I sure do, buddy. Let's start with an unsanctioned match, Johnny Gargano versus Grayson Waller.
Okay, this match, I feel like Gargano should win in the sense that it's retribution, it's payback, but my money is on Grayson Waller.
Kind of think Gargano's going to win for the reasons that you said. But yeah, Grayson Waller, in the pro wrestling sense, like he's the younger guy, I think he should probably win in that sense. But in terms of the story, like Gargano, like, you know, the veteran who is taken out by this young, cocky, brash upstart, he's got to get his comeuppance. So I don't know. I could see it going either way. I'm going to say Grayson Waller, actually. I'm going to say Grayson Waller. I'm going to say they do what they should do and not what I fear they will do.
You're all right. All right. There we go. What's the next match?
The next match, my friend, 8-person mixed tag team match, and the winners gain control of Chase University. It is the University, Andre Chase, Duke Hudson, Thea Hale, featuring mascot Tyler Bate. They are against the Schism. Sometimes they're spooky. Sometimes they're just anarchists. It's Joe Gacy, Jagger Reed, Rip Fowler, and Ava. I don't think she's Ava Rain anymore. I think she is now simply Ava, The Rock's daughter.
Is this Ava's first TV match outside of anything she maybe did at Level Up?
I don't even know if she was on Level Up.
I think this is
her first TV match, yeah.
Getting the Fandango treatment. Good for her.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. Yes. Who do you think wins? I think the Schism wins.
I'm going to go with Chase U. Why not?
Nice.
Just to be different.
There you go. We're split on two, yeah. So far.
Almost want to make a bet with you.
Oh, maybe we can. Maybe let's throw down a nice bet here. Though whoever gets the most correct, what do you want to do? Money, beers,
beer. Let's do a beer. Gets the first pitcher at Hurricanes, our local pub. The next time we go,
shout out Hurricanes. Shout out that bet. I am for it, buddy. All right, so we're split on those two matches. Let's see where you're going with the triple threat tag team match for the NXT tag titles. Champions Gallus versus the Creeds versus the D'Angelo family, AOAO, Tony D, ya boy, and Channing Stacks, Lorenzo.
I think Gallus is going to retain.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. Too early to take it off Gallus. We will not disagree on that one. So let's see where we're going with the women's tag team titles. The Spooky Ladies, the Witchy Women, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Yes, versus Fallon Henley and Kiana James. Yeah, that's the safest bet on this entire card. Alba Fire and Isla Dawn will win the titles.
Put them down for my last patron standing.
Oh, Boris, there you go, buddy. I will mark that down. I think that's the safest bet on this card. Good call. Okay.
Watch that match be the one that eliminates me. Listen, Alba Fire, Isla Dawn, if you guys get me eliminated from last patron standing, I'm done with the two of you.
Very little to do with it, but I respect your moxie. All right, let's actually go to the fatal five-way match for the NXT North American title. Wesley champion versus Dragon Lee versus JD McDonagh versus Ilya Dragunov versus Axiom.
Look, this is a hard one just because any one of these people could be North American champion. They got a great story going with Wesley, but here's my take. I think Dragon Lee is going to win, and Wesley is going to get the push to the championship.
Oh, versus Mello? Wesley versus Mello? I think that's they've had a match already. I think that's definitely ready to go. So I like where your head's at. Dragon Lee will win this match. I agree with everything you just said.
All right. There you go. Dragon Lee. And then, yeah.
All right, ladder match. It is now a six-woman ladder match for the NXT women's title. It is champion Roxanne Perez versus Zoe Stark versus Gigi Dolin versus Tiffany Stratton versus Lyra Valkyria versus Indy Hartwell.
I want to say Tiffany Stratton. I really do. I really, really do. For the sake of this bet, let's say Tiffany Stratton. But my heart of hearts, my gut of guts, as we say here on NXT Talk and Bam, says that Roxanne Perez is going to retain. But for the sake of this, let's go with Tiffany Stratton for the simple fact that, holy shit, did you see her tonight?
No, you rotten, no good, fence sitting motherfucker. You can't pick two people. You can only pick one. You just did.
I said for the sake of this bet.
I know what you said. We all heard it. We can play the tape back. I can edit the shit out of this. I do agree with your Tiffany Stratton take. Don't start. I'm not even gonna finish that joke. Okay. Let's just get through this podcast. Buddy, Roxanne Perez is going to win, and it's going to be a very good match. I hope it could be a disaster, but that's part of the fun here.
So who did you take?
Roxanne.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Okay, cool.
Well, I don't have to guess two people to do it, nor do you have to put on the red light. This game is over. You don't have to sell your body for the night, Boris. Let's move on to the main event. Bron Breakker versus Carmelo Hayes. Is it Melo's time?
It has to be. It has to be, right?
Yes. Yes, it does. I think it is. It's got to be. Like, I don't want to see heel Bron Breakker pull out some fucking shitty heel win and then go on a heel run. I want to see Carmelo Hayes win this title and Bron Breakker move up to Raw or SmackDown after WrestleMania.
What does Bron Breakker have to gain in NXT?
Nothing. Jack shit of nada. Nothing left. He's done it all. He's done all there is to done, and it's time for him to move on and hit the main roster running, ready to go, young and hungry.
Yep, exactly. And you know what? Let him. This is how I would debut him on Raw or SmackDown, wherever you want to put him. Zayn and KO getting beaten up by the Usos and Solo Sikoa. Boom! Natural entrance for our boy Braun against Solo Sikoa.
I believe if you check the tape, I said that exact thing like four or five weeks ago. Yeah.
But you know what? I did. I own the Masters, so I can make any edits and re-upload.
Again, you're just pushing me into a real. I got jokes I can't make on the program now. Anyway, thank you all very much for listening. This was a very good episode of NXT Talk, and we will be back at you tomorrow on BAM. Yeah, well, hopefully we will see. Perhaps we will be back at you tomorrow on BAM for a full baseball preview, talking baseball from Maine to San Diego. Mattingly, Canseco, Griffey's grotesquely swollen jaw, Steve Saxon is running with the law. We're talking Homer, Ozzy in the straw, Boris.
Keep it locked here on SNW Radio for all of your WrestleMania reviews, as all of the shows are free this week. That's snmeradio.com. After this week, the only way that you can get every show is by becoming part of the family, and you do that by joining the Patreon at patreon.com/snmeradio. Thank you for listening. We'll be back later this week as we chat all things wrestling and whatever else we're going to be chatting. NXT Stand and Deliver, WrestleMania Night 2. I got all the reports on Slam. You can find them all at slamwrestling.net. Thank you so much for listening. It really does mean a lot to the two of us. He's Matt. I'm Boris. Till next time, stay tranquilo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.